Welcome to the Shelter Footycast. Will Schofield, Mark Reddings, taking you through all the big stuff in the AFL of the week gone by and coming up ahead. Skeeter, we've got a Patreon now, mate. Are you excited?
I've never heard the term Patreon, but I'm on board with you, Scoey. If you take me to the promised land, I'm there.
VIP content, discounts, and much more. Backchatstudios.com.au to sign up as a VIP.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Yes, g'day, Shelter Footycast live from Backchat Studios. We mean business today. Skeeter's got his shelter jacket on, and that means, well, I don't know what it means, but it means he's dressed right up for us, and it's great to see him. Mark Rennings, Will Schofield here on the Shelter Footycast. Hello, Skeeter.
Hello, Scoey. Yeah, getting a bit colder, dark in the morning when I go and do radio, so yes.
Is that what it means?
It means, yeah, and it's a good, easy, don't have to iron it, so it's perfect.
So we're in here at Backchat Studios, working, but I would say almost slaving away, just putting content out there, and it's just after 5 p.m. and we're still in here, and we get a knock on the door. Nick, we get this knock on there, boom, 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 boom. It's like, geez, who's coming around? It's 5 p.m. at night, 5 p.m. at night, and what do we see? We see this figurine at the door, just in exercise gear. He's got sweatbands on. He's got his
phone
strapped to his bicep. He's got all sorts of things. It's Mark Bloody Reddings exercising. I tell you what, you are just...
No, I just came to say hello to you. And the reason being, I've done now 60 days off the gas.
Wow.
I went to the MCG. I told you the story. I weighed 101, which, you know, yes. That's a century you don't want to get at the MCG. So I've just tried to stay off it, exercise a bit. I actually feel... pretty good, which is scary because, you know, like, I'm going to have a...
That's a good thing.
It is a good thing, but I'll go out for a drink tomorrow because that's my Trinity Old Boys lunch. But it's like, yeah, of course, this is the Shelter Footy Cast, so we don't want to discourage people from having a sip, but
yeah.
It's nice just to take a breather from time to time.
Bloody hell.
So, yeah, exercise. I thought I'd come by and see you. First thing I do, hi, Scoey. Not, how you going, Scoot? Let me get my phone and start recording this place. Anyway, that's how juvenile you are. But yes, that was me exercising.
It was good to see you. I just thought it was quite funny that at that time of night you're rolling around the streets of Perth. But, mate, well done. All piss takes aside. I'm proud of you, mate. Well, how much you lost?
I've got to do the weigh-in tomorrow. My wife, I've said I'm about 97, actually 95. So I've lost six.
So what's the plan? Tell the wife that you've lost less and then on weigh-in day. Say, I've lost it.
Genius. And then she goes, oh, of course, then you go and get smashed on Friday night. But that's, you know, that's, and all three.
How many hours would you put on, you know, Goodwill? Have you, you know, after 60 days of not drinking, I'm probably 60 times you've not gone out with the boys got in trouble with the missus. How many hours do you think of Goodwill have you earned?
I've got 6,000 brownie points in the bank. If I stay out 1 minute too long tomorrow night, I'll be down to 3 points. You can gain them very slowly, Scoey, but it takes forever. To gain them, and then you lose them just like that. You know what I'm talking about.
It's like freaking Fight Boys. It'll take you 5 years to get a million over there. One fight, they're gone.
Gonski.
Very good. We've got a bit to get through, Skeeter, so let's get into it. Make sure you're following us on social, Shelter Footycast, so you can send us some correspondence at footycast@backchatstudios.com.au. Skeet, some big news off the top. Big news. We've got a Patreon.
As in like the New England Patriots? What's a Patreon? I don't know what a Patreon. I swear I don't. I mean, you think I play dumb. I'm not playing dumb.
Shelter Footycast Patreon. That's right. You can become a VIP of the podcast, Skeeter.
A VIP? Yeah, go on. I'm fascinated. This is the first I've heard of it. Sounds like absolute pooperama, but anyway.
So there's two tiers of VIP. The first tier, and we'll say this is base level, is called the Scoey tier. Right?
Yeah.
$10 a month, right? And you want me to tell you what? You get 10 bucks a month, we'll get you?
Yeah, I do.
Ad-free content. So you get this podcast, no ads, right? Thanks for coming. You just hear Skeet and Scoey.
We've got ads on this, haven't we?
Not interrupted, right? We'll interrupt each other, just not with ads. Skeeter, once a quarter.
Yeah.
So once every couple of months, 3 months actually, beers with the boys. So join Skeet and Scully for a virtual shelter. Ask all your burning questions, footy or non-footy, and talk shit. Think of those like a big sort of, you know, get together, you know, little community thing. So bring your beers, phones in the bin, ask us anything. Ask Skeet.
Where are we going to be?
We're going to be on the beers as well. We're going to be drinking. I think we do it at your house. Not everyone at your house. We all jump on a bit of a Zoom.
Yeah.
And I'll come to your
man cave. You would have set up the Zoom as well.
Yeah, and, correct. That's why I'm coming to your house, because I can't leave you alone with one laptop. So you can come with those there once a quarter. At any time, you can request, and this is... We'll take this sort of as we go. Definitely one per person, but if they're good, you might be able to get a couple. You get a personalised cameo from Skeet or Scully.
So, what do you mean by that?
So they can ask for maybe a pump-up message for their footy team. Maybe a nice message for their mum or girlfriend.
Yeah, you know, some marital advice from someone who's 25 years this year, how to survive and how to thrive.
Yes, exactly right. So I'd say a lot of those requests will be coming into yours truly, Mark Redding. So you can get those. You get discounts at the Shelter Brewing Co. online shop. So that's beers, that's merch. And you also get discounts at a Backchat shop. So that's $10 a month. That get all of that sort of stuff. $10 a month. You will spend $10 in 1 second at the Shoe.
Tomorrow night,
right? 1 second. So just $10 a month and you get all that.
Wow. That. So it's like it's a Patreon, but it takes like a subscription, yeah?
Yeah, subscription, VIP.
Wow.
Might even get some special.
Can I ask you just, I know we're on air here, but how successful do you think this might be?
Well, it's going to be up to you, Skeet, because all those things coming from you. That is the first tier. Oh. The second tier. What do you think this one's called?
Tier 2?
This is the Skeeter. This is the Skeeter, the premium level, the platinum level of VIP. This is the Skeet. It's $75 a month, Skeeter.
Oh, so you put me out of the range of most punters.
I don't think it's out of the range, because this is what it gets you, Skeet.
Okay.
Right? It gets you all that stuff we just spoke about, right? You're involved in all of that. But it gets you one carton every month of Shelter. Right?
Now we're talking.
Carton of Shelter.
Yep.
So that'll set you back $60, right?
Yep, retail.
Right, retail. Right, $75. So you've got about $15 $15 left to get up. Ad-free content, biz with the boys, personalised cameos, all that sort of stuff. You get tickets to every event at Shelter. Every event you want to go to, free tickets. Thanks for coming. They do events every couple of weeks there. They're usually about $100 each.
Yeah, right.
Thanks for coming. Free tickets. Any event that we put on the Shelter Footy Cast, whether it's here in Perth, whether it's up in Busso, whether it's over in Melbourne for the grand final, free tickets, big discounts on merch, an even bigger discount, and big discounts on merch on our site, $75 a month. So it gets you the beer. It's the beer club. It's the Skeeter club.
Yeah, it's like, now that's business class. I'm happy to take 1A on that.
There we go. Business class, as only Mark Redding's flies. If you want to find those, backchatstudios.com.au, click on Patreon, follow the links to Shelter Footycast, and you'll find your stuff there. If you want to get involved in the beer club, you want to get involved in the SCOE level, which is just, you know, it's just base level, right? I'm at base level. Skeeter's at the top. You're at the pointy end of the plane. That's one's for you. Will Schofield, Mark Redding, Shelter Footycast. Okay, Skeet, that's some big news there. But off the top here, Hamish Brayshaw on the Backchat show wrote an open letter to the AFL, Skeet. So you told me you hadn't really heard this yet. I think we're going to play this in the entirety to our listeners, and we're going to have some comments off the top of that. Does that make sense? Happy with that?
Let's roll it.
Okay, Hammer's open letter to the AFL.
Dear AFL, I normally swear on here and act like an idiot. However, there will be no profanity or hyperbole in this letter. These are my honest and bewildered thoughts as a current player and a lifetime fan of the greatest game in the world. The Tribunal and Match Review Panel are single-handedly destroying the game. You are making it impossible to play in good spirit, you're making it impossible to adjudicate, and you are not far off making it impossible to support.
Oof.
Over the past 12 months, this is my interpretation of the rules of the game based on what I am hearing and what I am currently seeing coming out of the AFL. Protect the head at all costs, unless, obviously, a head knock is a result of a football act. But then it depends on how hard you get hit in the football act and if the player had any other alternatives. But also the player needs to take into account the potential to cause harm. But of course it shouldn't depend on the outcome of the opponent, unless of course it does result in a concussion. But even then it depends on the intent. But of course a player is entitled to attack the ball with good technique. But it doesn't matter if the opposition runs in head first like every kid playing the game growing up gets taught not to do. But then of course it depends on the state of the game and the time of the year, and whether or not we need to make an example out of someone. But then don't forget if they have had a clean record in the past and do charity work. But then, obviously, that can only matter once and never again, because from now it doesn't count. And it also depends on the player and on the team. But then it also all boils down to protecting the head because we're seeing more players retire from concussion than ever before. But we will let a guy stay out and play next week after punching someone in the face in the goal square because it wasn't hard enough to really hurt them. Let that sink in for just 10 seconds.
I like it.
It's not over.
I like it.
I've grown up all my life surrounded by football, playing football, watching football. My family has been engrossed in the AFL system for decades, and I have absolutely no idea what's going on. My brother is never going to play football again in his whole life because of a jumping smother that turned into a bump which collided with his head. As much as it kills me to watch that, I can put my feelings for Angus aside and say that down to the nuts and bolts of it, Maynard was trying to smother the ball in a qualifying final, so technically it was a football act. You certainly didn't care for the outcome there, and Braden was allowed to go on and win a premiership. That is precedence. That was such a defining moment from the tribunal as I can remember, and you went on with protecting the sanctity of the game over the protection of the player. I'm not agreeing or disagreeing with that, but it's breaking me that you can't stick to one thing and are constantly backflipping on that stance. Peter Wright and Toby Green, 4 weeks and 1 week respectively. Football acts with not a whole lot of difference. Jeremy Finlayson got less than Peter Wright for a homophobic slur, which once again highlights how far off any idea the AFL has got and how much you don't know what's happening at the tribunal. You just make it up as you see fit.
Yes.
Matt Crouch has been given a week for picking the ball up exactly how every kid ever playing football was taught to do it.
Yes.
There is goal square footage of Jesse Hogan punching his defender in the face, and he admitted to openly swinging and trying to push his opponent. The AFL's response, quote, "We are not clearly satisfied that there was anything more than negligible," finish quote. "He swung a fist at a bloke's face and you didn't give him a week because it didn't hurt him hard enough. Punish the action, not the outcome, unless obviously the outcome is they're okay. Ask my little brother Andrew if having an intentional swing to the face has the potential to cause harm." It's incredible.
Wowzers.
We've heard enough about Charlie Cameron being left out for being a nice guy, but Tom Barras can't escape the week for the same thing. There apparently is one get out of jail free card in the deck. This is my last point, and I'm going to swear because I'm over it, and you can bleep this out if you want. Tom Barras is staying in Perth and missing one game for a dangerous tackle. I don't think there was much more he could have done differently. Michael Walters played the game out and isn't concussed, but sure, still give Tom Barras a week if that's the stance you're trying to go with. Protect the head at all costs. I can't physically watch the Melbourne Demons play football anymore because my brother's brain is going to be fucked for the rest of his whole life, and that wasn't enough for a week off. AFL, you're the greatest game in the world, but right now you're a joke. Your systems for protecting the player and maintaining the integrity of the game are broken and desperately need to be fixed. Before they can be fixed, you need to actually understand the criteria you want to govern the game by. It needs to be understandable for the public and it needs to be followed. You can't pick and choose when to dismiss certain things and when to change your views on others. It has to change, otherwise the game is going to turn into something unrecognisable and it is going to happen very, very quickly. Yours sincerely, Hamish Brayshaw.
All right, Skeeter. So, first time you've heard that one. There's been quite a bit of traction online on this one, and Hamish is he's taking on some media requests currently from pretty much everyone in Perth. What did you think of that? It's probably the first time you've heard it. Is there any first impressions of what you heard?
Just a bloke that knows his footy, loves his footy, he's passionate about the direction it's heading. And look, I think what we've said for some time now, and he articulated it very well, Hammer, about the action versus the results. And I'm going to put my hand up. I think Michael Christian's in it. It's a tough gig. Yeah. If you put yourself with the classifications that are in place for the match review, I don't think it's as easy as some people envisage. I'm loath to just label Michael Christian and those that are making these decisions from the gradings they have too harshly.
But Skeet, I don't think that's the issue. He's just following a table.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And he's allotting... the actual issue is the tribunal.
Probably,
Because he's grading it how... I don't know. He's trying to put them in a box, basically. All right,
which is very difficult in our game, given the nuances of every incident. There's very few that are like for like.
But the tribunal's there to then have a panel of people to hear arguments, to hear what happened, to then make a decision that's consistent, that takes into account what's actually gone on, and then to make a ruling. And there's been severe inconsistency. So I don't actually think Michael Christian's the problem. Like, it could be anyone. It could be, it could be Mark Reddings, and you'd still have as much issues as Michael Christian would, no doubt. But the tribunal should be in place to then, level it out almost. They're meant to be there to make the rulings and to discuss it and then to set the precedent for what goes on. So I think Hamish's entire point is about that. The inconsistencies, the listing off the top, the differences in rulings, the same action, different outcome, both in the actual actions and what's going on the field, and then the punishments that are getting dished out. It's got fans media types and has to have players going, what's the objective? Yeah. Are you protecting the head or you're not? Are we stopping the sling tackle or are we not? Why don't I understand why it's so wishy-washy?
Yeah, well, and just looking at the tribunal members, now I'm hoping I've got the right group of people here, but we've got tribunal chairs Geoffrey Gleeson, KC, Renee Enborn, KC, and just and there's a large group of names here, but I'll just try and cherry-pick the football types.
But there's a lot, isn't there?
Yeah, Jordan Bannister, Wayne Henwood, who's been on there a while, Darren Gasper, Jason Johnson, Richard Loveridge, Stuart Lowe, David Neitz, Shane Wakeland, Paul Williams. So there's no lack of footy IQ there or footy nous. So it's not like you've got a bunch of legal eagles just determining the outcome of these players. But, yeah, I understand where Hammer's coming from. And part of it, it's just one incident, was the Charlie Cameron case where, and I wasn't at the hearing, but the character reference became a factor. There's a more confusion than there is clarity about what the tribunal is going to deliver week in and week out. Hence, we're seeing clubs go to the tribunal to try and challenge because they don't quite know what they're going to get either.
Yeah, correct, which I don't think that's a good thing either. So what Hamish didn't do was offer solutions, which I don't mind. He's giving his opinion and it's not really his job to give solutions, but he didn't do that.
He's saying the system is broken in parts.
Correct, yeah. And it would be up to the league to fix it because that's what they're there for, isn't it? I mean, they're there to set the rules. They're there to give a platform for players to, I don't know, I think you've got to run out on the field and know what's going to happen if there is an incident or if you are making a tackle. But right now, you know, Jack Higgins gets 3 weeks.
Three weeks. I mean, seriously, go back, say, 5-10 years. I know we've moved on. 3 weeks is a pretty serious, intentional act. I don't think Jack Higgins falls into that category. And I can't help but think also, and it's obviously hits close to home with Hammer, is that at the end of 2023, the Angus incident has precipitated so much of what we're seeing now with regards to, and everyone says, oh, it's the legal aspect hanging over the AFL's head. Probably is.
Yeah.
Has to be a factor. Do we have the answers? No. Do we want a little bit more clarity on it? Absolutely. We're trying to work it out. And this is, again, no slight on Michael Christian. And even the tribunal members, I'm just trying to get some...
I don't think they're clear either. They can't be. If they're making decisions that are so far apart, they can't be clear on what their objective is either.
Mm. Yeah, it's... well done for Hammer to take the time to write down his thoughts.
Yes.
He obviously feels passionate about it, but he's gone that far.
That was unprompted. He rolled up with a bloody dossier. He's like, can I read this on air? I was like, go for your life, mate. Will Schofield, Mark Reddings, Shelter Footy Cast. All right, Skeet, let's get into some of the big issues that happened this week. Connor Rozee for tonight's showdown.
He's playing.
Four-day hamstring. Now, you know, I roll this out everywhere I do media. And Skeet, as you know, you've seen the spreadsheet. There's a lot of different platforms I'm working across. A hamstring is a hamstring. It's a 21-day injury.
Yeah, but we said the same with Luke Edwards.
I know. I know. They can't be doing hammies.
No, you're
That's the only solution I
have. You can have soreness in your hamstring.
You can have back-related referred pain to your hamstring. Don't make me go into Dr. Peter Larkin's area, Skeeter. But I've had it through my career.
Yeah.
Your back, you got issues with your back. Your back fibres and muscles and other things that I can't give you the exact details go all the way through your hammies, down to your calves, down to your feet. Like it runs the whole way up your body. And so at times it can feel like you've done a hammy, but you haven't. And if you can sort your back out, your hammy, the tension comes off and you're all good. That's the only solution I can give you for that. He hasn't done a hammy. There's no way.
No, a real hammy, yeah.
No, there's no way. And you're not risking your captain.
No, of course not.
If he's done a hammy and we're like, I hope he's going to get through. I saw him do his fitness test yesterday on Nine News or whatever. He hasn't done a hammy. He was moving unbelievably. Like, he looked amazing. So he just hasn't done a hammy. So I don't think it's a four-day hammy. He hasn't done a hammy and he'll be playing.
It might have been, as you say, a bit of hamstring tightness or, as you say, the back-related issue. But... big story, no doubt, and the showdown on a Thursday, which I like.
Yeah, correct. So there's some good games this weekend.
It's close to the best round we've had this season, given the Battle of the Bridge. We've got Geelong, Melbourne's going to be huge against Carlton, Collingwood on a Friday.
Yes.
tonight's game, and even the Eagles Essendon, it's got a great rivalry, even though it's not a derby as such, but it's got a there's a real nice feel about, and you could easily get two out of nine this weekend.
Well, we could easily do that anyway. Skate, to be honest, we might actually go well this week. Skate, there's always West Coast sort of trade rumors, and I think these are going to ramp up over the next 2 years. If you look at their list, McGovern's not playing for much longer.
He's not tradable.
Jack Darling's coming towards the end of his career.
He wants to play on.
Yeah. Well, good on him. Mm-hmm. I think his form's improved this year as the weeks have gone on. He's got better. Andrew Gaff's not going to go around forever. That'd all be on significant money. Those three.
Yeah. The one that's been brought up is Elliot Yeo as to his currency and the free agency element with him.
$700,000 on a 3-year deal somewhere else for a 30-year-old that's played 40 games out of 90 in the last 4 years.
I don't speak for Yeo here. I think he'd be more than happy to finish his career at the Eagles. Yes. I might be wrong.
Knowing Yoey, he would look at that young midfield and he would be that excited. Like, you can see when he plays with Harley Reid, they're the same bloke. Just one's a bit more experienced than the other, but they walk around with a bit of swagger. They've got the same hip strength. They burst out of tackles. Like, if you watch them on the weekend, they'll come out of the stoppage just kind of, they almost run the same pattern and then they're running next to each other quite a few times, give those hands. I reckon he'll be that excited that, oh, okay, I could make another, $500,000 going to St Kilda or North Melbourne.
But if you're Yoey, look, I'm just playing devil's advocate. The only place you'd go, surely, is a club that is in the window at his age. I don't think he will go, but... Correct.
So who would that be?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, Collingwood's always in the window, supposedly.
But they're not going to have enough money to pay him more than West
Coast.
Exactly.
I mean, but Geelong finds a way to get players through the door every year.
They're working down there at the Shell Refinery or something. Ford Motorhouse, chuck him in there as well.
Yoey's staying in my... I've got no idea, but I suspect he's staying.
A bit of interest for Richmond. Jack Graham and Liam Baker, both of those guys being linked to the footy club.
Yeah.
I mean, Liam Baker probably excites West Coast fans more than Jack Graham. Well, it certainly does on face value to me. Like, Liam Baker looks the player.
Yes, and again, I wouldn't be selling the farm to get Liam myself. He's a really good mid.
I'd agree.
You agree?
I'd agree.
Oh, yeah. And this is you'll probably knock me down here, but for a bloke that he's won two or three flags, is that right?
Yes.
Liam Baker. That's cool. Just give me a call. Just tell him later.
Stephen.
Glenn. But
sorry.
If you've won two or three flags, and I know it brings experience and that winning culture, I don't know, have you still got the fire in the guts to come across here? I don't know. That's just my feeling. I think I wouldn't be, if you get him at a decent price, he wants to come home, absolutely.
Yes.
I wouldn't be going over the top with Liam Baker. That's not to say, if you had him in your side, happy days.
West Coast have to have a new edge at the trade table than what they've had previously. I mean, they're not trying to add players to top a list up. They're trying to build this list. So they can't pay overs.
Well, you've got to, and again, I know it's easy to look at the spine. I think we've spoken about it before, but, argument's sake, you put a Sam Taylor, a Tim English, and a Logan McDonald, or one of those three in there, your side automatically, for instance, with a Tim English, and he still hasn't signed. They've got the dollars, haven't they, to keep pushing the envelope with him?
Well, that's probably the point I was making with Elliot Yeo. So, Liam Baker, two flags, 26 years old, 114 games. So, that's the point I was making with Elliot Yeo. West Coast are going to have the biggest salary cap space in the AFL. Probably them. And
for the first time in years, they've had this money to play.
I would say
with.
Within 6 to 18 months, those players I said won't be on the list anymore. And I don't know, there's a minimum of $2 million.
That's where the Sam Taylor might be happy as he could ever be at the Giants.
They're going to need to pay Harley, though. They're going to need to pay Harley a lot of money.
They're going to have to pay very soon, by the sounds of it.
Well, I don't know if they will. I've spoken to a few people that might know Skeeter, and they're, Harley's camp, I don't think, is in much rush to sign. Why would you? One, because the salary cap space isn't there right now for West Coast, but it will be. So why would you sign now? So you may as well wait till they've got the coffers and then go. And Harley, if all going well, is a better player in 12 months' time.
And the marketability of the bloke just...
I don't think that would be dumb for them unless the deal is $15 million over 10 years.
Yeah.
And that's probably not enough anyway. So they're going to have to pay Harley, but I think they can pay other people. Hey, I just wanted to play one other thing, Skeeter. This is a little bit non-footy stuff, but I thought it was interesting and worth a discussion. I want to play you some comments from Sam Draper. He's on another podcast doing their thing. What is it? What's it called? It's called 200 Club?
Yeah, it's now available. I heard on the Tradies podcast or something as well. So it was done a couple of weeks ago, I thought it's worth.
200 plus this is on. So Sam Draper plays for Essendon, current player. I like seeing current players doing their own thing in the media, clearly. This is what he had to say with not much context. I'll give you the context after it a little earlier last week.
If they get paid
better than them.
I've got a big call about the Doggies.
Go. Good. Mm. We need something for this podcast.
If Bevo's still there, there'll be some players requesting trades.
Whoa.
Sherlock.
Clip that up for Neds.
Tradies, get on that.
Well, yeah, right.
Is this Drapes' magic ball?
This is good.
Can't reveal.
You might have a career. You might have a career in this game if this keeps up.
So, look, with some context, the lads over at the 200-plus podcast, they're running a segment, Skeeter, like you and I sometimes do, right? Ruffy of the Week, that sort of stuff.
Yep.
The idea is to be like journos. But from what I heard there and from a little bit of digging around, it's not like say stupid things that aren't real. It's pretend to be journos and give you a bit of like a little bit of info. Sam Draper doesn't play for the Western Bulldogs, but I'm sure he knows a few players that do.
Yeah.
What do you reckon about this one? Oh, look, Essendon's clipped him. He's had meetings with the leadership.
Bulldogs aren't happy.
Yeah. What do you reckon about it?
Well, of course I like it because it shows a bloke just speaking his mind. And
it's 1,000% true.
Yeah.
It has to be true. He hasn't just made that up out of nowhere.
No, of course he hasn't. It's his opinion. That is the problem. I and now you in the media specifically want the players to show a bit of flair, a bit of their character, a bit of their personality. But as soon as they do... Of course, they get shut down.
It's a difficult one when you
it's not your club.
It's not really like him showing personality though.
No,
it's a bit of a difficult one when you say like a head coach of another side gets another deal that players are out the door.
But you know what? If this is the NFL, NBA, no, it's just our culture of being very conservative.
Yeah,
not being outrageous with what we say
because it's true. Just so we know that's true. Like what he said is 1,000% true. I have no doubt about it.
Well, it's true in his mind. He believes it.
They all speak to each other.
He believes it. Yeah.
I did a little digging around to see what sort of maybe a couple of Instagram photos with, I don't know, Jack McRae. G'day, mate. Like, I don't know. I'm sure he's got mates of the Western Bulldogs. I'm sure what he said was true. So what's the issue with it? It's true. What's the issue? What's the problem?
Yeah, well, if it's Essendon, you don't like it. And if it's the Bulldogs, you don't either.
Yeah, well, that both of you, bad luck. It's true. The same thing with West Coast and some of the stuff that gets rolled out there. All these kicking and screaming about things that come out. Mate, if it's true, it's true. So what are you going to do about it?
And you know what? That piece of audio, unless I'm mistaken, will be in about a week, about the 16th subject on the list of things we talk about.
Will Scoville, Mark Redding, Shelter Footycast. All right, Skeet, let's start with the big stuff over here in the West. West Coast v Essendon, Saturday, I hear jackets and scarves being requested to be waived.
Mandatory, going back to the Sheedy days.
Sheed's over here. Sheed's over here. Sheed's over here,
yep.
So I spoke to Dom Pike during the week and my little, another little spreadsheet item over there at the West Coast Eagles. He's telling people, bring the jackets, bring the scarves. We want a big wave off. We saw it in the Anzac Day start. Did you see that one as well?
Yeah. So it's,
we like that.
It goes back to, of course, that rivalry goes back to Sheeds and Michael Malthouse. Eagles will get some players back this week. And it's a bit of a blessing because they've got a couple of players that were poor or certainly didn't get much of the footy last weekend. So you think Noah Long comes back in, Campbell Chesser misses out, I'd think. Tyler Brockman didn't get much of the footy last week as well.
So no, they'll keep playing him.
You think so?
They'll keep playing him, yep.
Yeah.
They'll stay with him. Yep, definitely.
Okay. So who does Long replace?
Chesser. And then put someone else in the wing maybe?
Yeah. Tommy Barras comes in, so he obviously moves into the defence, which is a given.
Harry Edwards played well.
He was okay. Yeah.
I thought he was good defensively. I think that's a straight swap, unfortunately. He's finding himself in that position where he's back up to Garvin and TB.
Clay Hall would be the guy that you brought up, which
I'd like to
see him replace Chessie in that sense.
He's not going to play on the wing, though, unfortunately. No. He's an inside mid, and that's probably the same as Harry Edwards. You can't go and play Harry Edwards in the back pocket on a small play. Yeah. He's a tall key defender. Clay Hall is about 195 centimetres tall, big bull inside mid. You can't drop Tim Kelly, you can't drop Elliot Yeo, you can't drop Harley Reid.
And Dom Sheed's just coming back into the mix.
And Ruben Jimmy runs through there as well, so... He's just in an unfortunate position. I would just still like to see him play. Maybe you could play him on a half-forward flank. And
I agree.
yeah, put a Petrocelli on the wing if he's fit enough. Put a runner out there. Like they've got a role that they play out there, and it's very much role based footy these days.
And so, the question is how tall the Bombers going to go this week, because they've got your boy Draper,
yes.
Goldstein, 2 meter Peter.
Yes,
they're going to stretch. And bear in mind what we saw Jared Witts do to the Eagles last weekend: 46 hitouts, 10 coaches' votes. He was just enormous.
So they can't fix that, can they?
Who, the Eagles?
West Coast. How do they fix that?
I don't see at the moment how they can.
Can't bring Barnett or Livingston.
Well, Barnett, I think, is just still too raw for what's required.
Yeah, I agree. So I don't know if they can get that done. Yeah, does Dom Sheed come in and play? That'd be a question.
Yeah, well, and look, Liam Ryan didn't get much of it last weekend, but there's no surprise in that. But you'd still want to see him improve this week as opposed to stagnating on his output last week.
They'll play him for a 6 to 8 week block, and if he doesn't get a touch for 8 weeks, then they'll have a discussion. But like, he's a star. We know he's a star, so they'll play him. How do you think this one's going to go? Because 4 weeks ago, this is probably a 100-point loss, and now we're thinking, well, maybe West Coast is a chance.
Yeah, I don't ever think the Bombers coming to Perth against the Eagles has been a fait accompli. I reckon they've always shown their lack of defensive ability in matches gone by. But that being said, the 2024 version is pretty good. The only thing is, after the massive occasion of Anzac Day, a draw, will there be a slight letdown? If you're a Bombers supporter, I'd be pretty comfortable with what you've produced in a whole patch, even against... There was one match I got blown away, but against the Swans, they lost by 5 goals, but that wasn't a tragic performance. I think they've been pretty consistent, albeit, as you said, they haven't beaten too many quality sides in that win-loss ratio.
I've been banging on saying I can't pick Essendon until they're good, Skater.
They're good now. They're getting close. They're getting close,
I'm going to pick Essendon to beat West Coast this week, Skater. It's the first time I've picked them all year. You just watch West Coast roll these blokes. You watch. Because I've picked them, and purely because I've picked them, you watch West Coast roll them. Harley Reid back. I think we temper expectations on him. It's always a bit difficult coming back after a week off, and it sounds weird, but when you get into a roll, you kind of get into a mode.
Stop going on holidays. I'm for work. It is, seriously.
I didn't say this on Monday. There's a lot of, should Harley Reid have been rested, that sort of talk. And I heard a lot of opinions say, no. I heard Daisy Thomas speak about it, maybe on Triple M. And he was a top draft pick, top three, maybe second or third draft pick. I don't think he was number one, but he was certainly top three. And he said absolutely loved it. He remembers back in his first year with Collingwood, he played every game, and his good was great. And he was a really good player when he came in this side. But he said his bad was bad. Like when he played poorly and he got tired, and especially towards the end of the year,
Flatter's attack.
He was awful. He said I couldn't contribute to the side, and he said he would have loved a rest. And planned rest as a young player. So he was one person that, I really like his work in the media as well, but he knows. Like, he's been that guy.
Been there, done it.
Yeah, so hopefully for Harley long term, it was a good result.
Well, put it this way, can't hurt him.
No.
Can't hurt him at all. In terms of at his age, picking the Bombers to win that one. And the question is, will they put some time into Zach Merritt, or is that just going to be 35-plus and just deal with it?
Yeah, I mean, some clubs, I mean, they won't be putting work into Darcy Parrish, I can tell you that right now. But Zach Merritt, I don't know, what is a Jinbi? Who do you do it with? I would like overall in the AFL for good players to have more attention played to them rather than just run around and do what you like, but I've got a feeling that West Coast will let him run around and do what he likes. We both pick Essendon. Richmond v Fremantle, MCG Sunday. Early game this one, Freo fans. So make sure you strap yourselves in for this one. 11 a.m. We're kicking this one off, Skate. And I think I'm doing it on radio. I've got a 10 a.m. preview. What are we doing here?
No, I'm doing waffle at 11 a.m. I'm doing East Perth and the Eagles. So you don't reckon you and I are going to be just wiping the sleep from our eyes.
And that's off the back of your first night on the piss. You're guilty. Sam, mate, if you want to laugh, I'd be tuning in to Mark Redding in that one. Jeez, Skate, you sound tired. Sam Switkowski could be back after concussion protocols.
I say could be. He's had 1 week off already. So is that the norm now? Maybe 2 weeks is a potential. I mean, Sam Taylor had 2 weeks off.
Yeah, but I think it's like any injury, isn't it? It's sort of, if you're right, you're good to go. And it These concussion protocols aren't, we're just going to give you time off because we have to. Like it's an injury.
I can't remember. Can you recall when he was concussed and the incident? I can't actually recall it. Anyway, he's a test. Josh Draper's a test with a hamstring.
they're not testing him, are they?
He's listed as a test.
Oh, fuck off. You are kidding me.
I'm telling you.
No, so that's a hammy. We saw him do his hammy. Rosie's sort of come off and he was doing tests on the boundary line. Draper's done a hammy. You're kidding me. You're absolutely kidding me.
And by the way, Jay Amos is a test as well with that concussion. He did look wobbly on his feet before he came off.
See, that's one. I wouldn't have one problem whatsoever if he doesn't play this week.
What you can't do is drop the kid. Oh, my kid, not yours. You love your Pat Voss, man. You cannot drop the kid. Keep Cooper. That's my save Simpson is my motto for this weekend. Save Simpson.
Not Adam. Cooper.
Cooper, absolutely.
Right, so you want to see him play again?
Absolutely.
Sub, you okay with the sub?
I'll take the sub. He's finding his feet.
You got all chips in.
All chips in with him. I reckon he's good.
See, I'd love to see Voss play. Like in all honesty, and I don't think there's room.
He can't with Amos.
Yeah, they can't play four talls. But I think he looked very good, Skeeter, and you didn't want him in the team. So,
well, I didn't say I didn't want him. I said that. Do they need him?
Jeez,
as it turns out, they didn't, because they won by four. He kicked one.
Okay, thank you very much, Skeeter. Thank you very much. Jaden Short, a chance to return for Richmond. Look, I think Richmond's looked really poor. They're struggling with numbers.
Just availability, yeah.
Jacob Hopper. This is a little danger game, though, for Freo.
Always a danger game at the MCG. I'm more bullish about this weekend from what I saw against the Bulldogs by Freo last week. So, yeah.
With where the sides are at, Freo should go here and win this game. From 40 ah, long more, mate. Like that. Like Richmond are poor. Richmond, but bottom MCG, three sides in the comp.
MCG, it's a different proposition.
They play well there. Yeah, like they've won their last three.
Oh, mate, I think that Fremantle. Put it this way: they're not winning these games. You don't complain at the end of the year about not playing finals.
No.
If you don't,
it's not a if you don't win, you don't play finals.
No.
But if you don't win, you don't necessarily deserve to. Really, this is a bottom three side. Yeah, it's a away game, but you've got to go and win these games.
100%.
And they should.
Yep, I agree.
We're both picking them?
Yep, good.
Adelaide v Port Adelaide in the showdown this evening. Dan Curtin making his debut. It's exciting.
Pick eight. Some great audio of speaking to his mum and his dad.
I heard that. That was brilliant.
Terrific. And his mum and dad will be going over there to watch him tonight, which is brilliant. He spent a lot of time playing in the SANFL in defence, which is no surprise.
Had 30 last week.
Yeah, had 30. And the question is, probably playing that half-back region, I'm guessing, tonight. Yep. But, yeah, it's just a great moment for him, a showdown, national audience. Big news for him. Of course, it's the same night that Rory Sloane is given a farewell after his retirement, after a decorated career. Obviously, with a detached retina, meant that he can no longer go on. But Port Adelaide's been very strong in the market, as they say, Scully.
It's like everyone's favourite son's retired with Rory Sloane. Like,
everyone likes him.
They're a bit emotional about it, aren't
they? Yeah, he's got a beauty. Looks like, I never met the bloke, but looks like a ripping bloke. Got the beautiful wife, got the kids. It'll hurt his boy talk on Instagram or something the other day. And yeah, what's not to like about the bloke?
No, I kind of agree, but also everyone has to, get delisted, get retired. Just a little bit too much carry on. It's a bit of an unpopular opinion.
He's played 255 games.
Congratulations. Well done.
Or two, not anymore.
Great career.
Yeah, but in South Australia, they make more of it than what we are here. But
see you later. Great career.
Yeah.
See you later. Time moves on, Skeet.
I know that. I'll sit here in a lap of honour, which is going to be nice tonight.
That is. Lap of honour would be.
You lack a bit of sentimentality, I think.
What I do lack is a lap of honour, and that's what I do lack.
Still filthy.
The fucking oath I am. Right? How's the premiership looking up in the cabinet? Pretty good? Yeah. How about give me a lap? Port Adelaide.
I just saw, actually, for some reason, I was looking at Bruce McAvaney highlights this week, and I saw the 2015 grand final in the pocket, Luke Hodge, and I saw you.
Is that right?
I just wanted to, who's Scully? I forgot that you'd gone to ground, and then you stepped past another player. Who was that? There was another eagle, and he just waltzed past him, kicked the goal.
Sorry, what did I deserve for this absolute clip on my football mortality?
Because you're talking about your lap of honour, so just bring you down. Because I know you lack confidence.
And sure we clip this one up. Skeeter running me through one of my worst moments on the AFL field. He had him pissing himself.
I just saw it and went,
what'd you think?
Well, you went to ground. I saw that.
From my ankle, actually.
Did you roll your ankle?
Yeah.
did anyone bump you in that moment, or did you just fell awkwardly? Or how did it happen?
A fuckwit.
Just asking. Because I was looking for some Bruce McAvaney highlights. And he
He didn't send you stumbling on Will Schofield's low lights.
I think Bruce mentioned you initially in the play, and then went all about Hodge.
Yeah. Balked me. I was on the ground.
There was another Eagle there. I can't remember who it was.
Could have been Gov. Could have been Sharrod. I don't know.
Anyway.
Well, thanks for that. Thanks for that trip down memory lane. That was beautiful. One of the moments I've absolutely erased from my mind.
Don't worry. If you hadn't won a premiership, I wouldn't have brought it up.
Okay. Thank you, Skeeter. Port Adelaide, Ryan Burton, and what's his first name? McEntee.
Jed.
Is it? Well done.
Jed McEntee.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you. They're into the side a little bit. He's out with concussion, and Pal Pepper, of course, with the ACL. Really devastating news for the West Australian in Sammy.
Port.
Yeah, look, I think a lot of people are rolling out Adelaide here, but I can't necessarily have that. Although they do seem to step up for
they do.
Whose home game is it?
It's Adelaide's home game, which makes it more fair. But at the end of the day, you can really only go on exposed form. And, you know, they beat North last week comfortably, but, you know, that's questionable. Look, I just think Port...
I think Port's a better side.
Port, 100%.
Okay, I'm with Port. I'm with you. Carlton v Collingwood, MCG, huge game.
Yeah.
It still remains this one as the biggest rivalry in footy, doesn't it?
Very close.
And now that they're both good sides, that makes it even better.
Remember the last year, at quarter time, at the Gabba, Carlton led Brisbane by 5 goals... Melbourne was going into meltdown when there was a prospect, the likelihood of Blues v Magpie grand final.
This is in the prelim.
Yeah, so that just shows you how massive that rivalry is. And tomorrow night, I can't wait for this because I'm going to be half gassed when I get to the shoe to watch this. And I'm going to be looking at with great interest. Now, Collingwood's had a couple of big outs, hence Blues have been back significantly here.
Huge.
Jordan to go out with a groin, possibly osteotis pubis, possibly.
That. That's not good.
No. So he's
that's,
out.
That's not one you can just manage.
That's a long term. Yep. Was it was Elliot Yeo? Was that
that's
that
what
territory?
He's been missing for 18 months.
Tom Mitchell out as well. So
with plantar fascia, which is like that's a foot injury that they're not easy to manage either. You can't jab that. You can't do much with that. So they could be out for a little bit.
Yeah. So those two players, significant outs, particularly DeGoey. He's outstanding. So another test for Collingwood. Their form against Carlton's been pretty good in recent times, but if the Blues are ever going to get the opportunity to knock over their arch enemy, it's tomorrow night, I would have thought.
Lachie Sullivan will make his debut for Collingwood. He's been on the list for 6 years at Collingwood. He's been dominating in the VFL, but he hasn't been able to crack into that midfield, and he'll play his first game for Collingwood. I thought he's a mature age.
I must admit, I don't know much about him.
Nah, neither do I, Scott. I'm just trying to sound like I do.
The way you're talking, I thought, I should know this.
I'm going to tell you what happened. I was browsing through Instagram and I saw McRae ask him how many years he'd been on the list. And he said 6. And then McRae said, well, I've been playing your first game. And then I've just rolled that out as if I've been studying him for 6 years. Skeeter, come on, stop lifting the curtain up, mate. You're meant to be showing that we actually know.
I don't know anything about him. I was honest.
Well, I'm honest, mate. I don't either. Look, he's got a shaved head. He looks good.
Go well.
Apparently he's going well. Adam Chera is at test this week. He's been out for a little bit, so it's good to see him back in the side. They've got some injuries, Carlton. McGovern, Martin, Saad, Marchbank, Fogarty, Motlop. None of them are playing, and they're probably all first 22 guys. They're finding a way to compete, but they lose last week. And this Collingwood side, you know, they're not the top eight yet, but they feel like they're building.
100%. And what we saw with Collingwood was able to get themselves out of a hole. I mean, last week they were, you know, 6-1 down, managed to find a way out of it. So they're a side that I still like Carlton in this one.
If they get midfield dominance, if they get it into their big boys.
This is the number I was looking for. Last week against Geelong, they were beaten by 13 points, but inside 50-wise...
Right.
That was 66-45. Now,
right. If they do that again, you're going to win more than you lose there.
Exactly. Anything over 60, if you do the numbers, generally, you're winning matches with over 60.
I'll tell you what entries. Happens at training and at the club when that happens. So I've been involved in sides where we don't win a game like that. They would have been doing forward 50 connections. So they would have just been rolling midfielders through like a little scrimmage, and they would have just had forwards leading up at them and connecting those kicks because they clearly couldn't connect inside 50, and they would have spent a long time on that. So look for that to be a feature. Sometimes as well, you know, maybe they don't have the forwards working together properly, maybe the entries are wrong, but they'll have found what was wrong, and that's what they would have worked on all week. So I know all about it.
And they, you know, I didn't see much of that game, but sometimes you're also very centric with Charlie or Harry. So yes. Whether they can mix that up a little bit just to take away that element of predictability.
So you Carlton?
I think Carlton. Yeah, I'm not all chips in on Carlton just because Collingwood's Collingwood, but I think Carlton probably best place to win this.
I mean, the Dugowie Mitchell thing hurts, doesn't it? I think Collingwood win it for no other reason than it's a gut call, and maybe they feel a little backs up against the wall sort type issues. They put Dacos into the middle. He just literally runs around and does whatever he wants because no one ever tags him.
Yeah. Cripps and Walsh, to me, the clearances, I think, will be won by Carlton. Now, whether that translates to victory, I don't know.
Dacos plays on Walsh. They do whatever they like. They have 40 Shake each. Hands. And I think Dacos more dangerous than Walsh, and Collingwood win. Put your money on it. Sydney v GWS, Skeeter. The Battle of the Bridge.
This is hard.
Well, I like this one because there's a little bit of spite. I think clear there is. Horse Longmire has been trying to play it down, but GWS are happy to play into these things. We saw it against Collingwood earlier in the year. We've seen them do multiple things across social media. They want people to be interested in what they're doing, and I personally love it. I think it's great for us. We can talk about things.
They have to be more proactive, don't they?
Oh, yeah, that's the environment they're in. Sam Taylor comes out and says they're grubs and whatever they are, little grimy little cheeky buggers. But there'll be no love lost in this one, and I think that makes for a good game of footy because it means a bit more than a normal four-pointer. GWS, they'll get some big names back. They'll get Cornelio back, they'll get Taylor back, and they get Toby Green back. Ooh. They may get Brett Daniels back as well, who was sub last week. They didn't play him. He was injured. He was under an injury cloud, which is strange, playing him as sub if he was in fact injured. But they didn't play him last week. They could get all four of those blokes back. They're all very, very good players.
It's massive, isn't it? And to change the narrative for Sydney, I'm pretty sure Callum Mills has done his calf and he's going to be missing. He was sort of on track or at least close to coming back this week.
From the shoulder in the preseason.
Yeah. That was his little moment of madness, so to speak. So he's going to be missing for a while. Luke Parker, I'm not sure if you got an update on him.
Oh, hearing he's playing. Yep.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, so that's huge.
I'm pretty sure he played in the VFL last week.
Yeah, so off the back of that, the Swans, it's a good game. But I mean, these sides have had some crackers. I think the last three or four games have been decided with not much more than a couple of kicks between them. So this could be the same as well.
Did you see the Wicks footage with the no high fives?
Yeah, I know. Any there's thoughts? Been an issue with him and teammate and ex partner, all that sort of stuff. Where that's landed, I'm not reading too much into that.
I could almost categorically say that would have nothing to do with anything. He kicked a goal out the back against Hawthorn. They're up by 10 goals. Like, what? No one. It's not the game to go over and get 20 boys around him.
Put it this way: the evidence that it's not causing too much angst in the ranks is that they won by 70 plus.
Yeah, correct.
I'm tipping Sydney here, but you'll tip the Giants.
Oh, absolutely. What? Because they're better and they're going
to
win.
No.
Why are you saying I'll pick the Giants then?
Because I just know you'll tip the Giants. You're a bit of a fanboy. So no, and you're probably right given the players they've got back. But no, it should be a ripper.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I will pick GWS. St Kilda v North Melbourne, the shittest game of the weekend. This one, it's completely irrelevant. St Kilda have turned themselves into a really irrelevant side in this competition, and we know what North Melbourne's done for the last 4 years. So I'm not going to spend much time on this. Jai Simkin, the captain, can barely get a game for North Melbourne, so that's going well for his career. And Jack Higgins, he's out for 3 weeks. Skeeter, who are we taking in this one? Unless you want to break anything else down.
I just want to break down what time the match is on, so I don't have to worry about potentially having
2:35 on Marvel Stadium on the Saturday, I believe.
On Saturday? Jeez, how does that get Saturday afternoon?
Is that
afternoon?
Right? I think that's right.
Yeah, Saturday afternoon. Talk about...
Who are you picking? I couldn't care.
St Kilda wins and North, just going.
Yeah. People say that they're going to become the... they're going to equalise the competition by getting rid of North.
Not with the broadcast set up as it is. No, that's not happening. But they need... Well, too long a discussion, but they have just not shown any improvement.
If they do what they've done for the last 3 years, and they do it for two or three years more, they'll put their name up in the lights to see you later. Can't be uncompetitive for that. They'll be hoping they're becoming competitive in the next 2 years.
Absolutely. I think the AFL would be loath to go down that path, but yeah, the broadcast setup is critical to all that.
Melbourne v Geelong, Saturday evening, 5:30, big game. Tom Hawkins has gone 3 games without a goal, longest drought in 5 years for the big fella. Knowing him very well, Hawks kicking a bag this week, and that's going to have to be on Mayo Lever. So unless he's severely injured or has a big issue and he's able to play at his best, I think he'll get a hold as one of those two guys. You think about the way May plays, you think about the way Lever plays, they're some of the best backmen in the competition, but they play really well against, they can run and jump. The thing with Tom Hawkins is you've got to be able to play one-on-one body and you've got to be able to wrestle with him to be able to do anything against him. He doesn't allow you to get into positions to go and run and jump and do what they do well. And I think Tom Hawkins could get on top of these boys. Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm picking Geelong, which I know, Skeeter, you'd be surprised at, given I don't think they're the best side in the competition. Patrick Dangerfield's out for at least a month, and Tom Stewart could be back from concussion.
Well, he'll be 100% back, Tommy Stewart, which is great news for him. And look, the Cats have done zero wrong, averaging 107 points in their last five games at the G. That's ranked number one in the competition. And from defensive 50 chains, since round four, they've scored 23 points per game. So that's about four goals a game just through their ability.
And in transition.
And in transition. So sometimes clearance-wise, they're getting mopped up, but they're able to win it back.
And efficient.
Yes, exactly. Right,
63 entries to 40 last week, and they win.
Yeah, so that all that plays into their hands. Look, if they're switched on, I'm tipping Geelong as well. Interesting, because the midfield of Melbourne's so good.
Yeah, but do they have a forward line?
That's the issue. That's the question. But for me, it's all about whether Geelong, what have they won? Seven or eight in a row? Seven, I think it is. To maintain that length of success at this elite level is pretty tough. So, you're going to have a down week somewhere.
But you need to put some attention into Jeremy Cameron if you're Melbourne. So when we used to play against Jez, especially when he was high, I think you've got to give him real respect. You can't let him get up and go and get involved and get him on the way back, because he'll have his four touches up on the ground. And some players, Tom Hawkins, you can. All right, go and do that, and I'll see you in a couple of minutes when you get back, Tommy. But Jeremy Cameron, you've got to have someone on him that can be really physical with him high, like right up into D50, go up high with him, play him as a backman. Not saying I used to do it well all the time, but I used to get him quite a lot because of that reason, and I used to just try and be as physical as possible. Like any player, he doesn't really like that.
Does he chatter?
He's not a talker. So he's like a bit of a Buddy Franklin. Don't need to talk shit to Jez, because he'll kick five on you in a quarter. But be physical. Doesn't like physical. And when he wants to get up and then turn you, physical. Big roadblock in front of him. So, maybe that's a lever. I don't know if that is a lever. But you've got to have someone that has the aerobic capacity to do it, but then it can be physical. So you can't have someone too slight. You need to have a big player on him that can run. So I don't know who that is for Melbourne. Is it May? I don't know.
No, interesting. No,
who are you picking?
I've gone with the Cats.
Yeah, so have I. Bulldogs v Hawthorne. This is on Sunday, 2 o'clock. Tom Liberatore will be expected to be back in the side. Cody Waitman, he could be out for the year, I'm hearing. He may have to have that elbow surgery. We ran into him at Gather Round, Cody, when we're having breakfast. You were probably still... Oh, you weren't there, Nick. I'm not sure why I'm pointing at you. And he had a big brace on, had a bit of a chat to him, and he was trying to manage it. Josh Kennedy did it 1 year for West Coast. But he's now popped it out again, so I'd say he's done more damage. He's probably going to have to get that repaired.
And just going back to the incident, I didn't actually think he was a viable chance to take the mark at the time. So
if you play injured like that, it's very difficult to not jump at those.
Oh, no, that's what he does. But, yeah, it's a big loss for the Dogs. I've still got them winning on the weekend,
Jamara,
though.
Jamara should be back in.
Yeah, hopefully so. Yeah, and look, Sam Darcy's the man going forward for them, alongside Jamara. But Sam Darcy's the guy that's got the real explosive ability to win a game. And the Dogs, again, this is the sort of theme we've seen from them over the past couple of years, really, isn't it? They have matches where you think, okay, they're playing their footy that we know they can. And then against the Dockers, they sort of, at critical moments, they didn't take their chances, kick 2-7 or 2-8 in the third quarter, and they lose the game. So they'll be taking care of Hawthorne, given what we saw by the Hawks. There's no sign of improvement, significant improvement from them in the last month.
I'll pick Hawthorne. Thanks, Skeeter. I'm going to take them on against the Bulldogs. I think they're a chance this
week. Locked and loaded.
Yeah, Mitch Lewis will come back in, kick some goals, and Western Bulldogs, probably the most inconsistent side we've seen this year. So I think Hawthorne get the job done.
Okay, not too many sides get beaten by 75-plus points and then back up and win the next week. So, no, if it comes through, well done.
You know it's not going to, but I'm going to give some people something, Skeeter. Brisbane Gold Coast in the Q Clash. I didn't realise a Q Clash was happening. So yeah. It's Clash Round, is it?
Yeah, the Gabba.
So what's happening?
Sort of. So, yeah, Brisbane, well, it's say just give them a tick for the Gabba, but they haven't won there yet this year. So
the
it's
Q like, Clash.
A bit of a worry, isn't it?
Brisbane. You can't pick Gold Coast.
No, I'm saying.
Can't pick them.
Well, it's not officially an away game as such. It's like they're just
talking about inconsistent sides. This is 101 inconsistency right here, Gold Coast. I'm picking Brisbane in this one, Skate.
I'll give him Brisbane, but here's, you talked about Hawthorn beating the Bulldogs. This is a game where I think the Gold Coast Suns can be right up to their eyeballs in this match if current form continues.
I will say Brisbane will win their next six games and be sitting in the eight after that period of time, Skeet. They're going to beat Gold Coast. They play Adelaide away. They'll beat them. They play Richmond at the Gabba. They'll beat them. They play Hawthorn. They play Western Bulldogs. They're going to win five or six in a row, and they're going to be right back in finals contention. Everyone's written them off, certainly. I think they have enough talent, enough in them to compete for finals. I think we'll see similar to what GWS did last year, and they'll get their mojo back towards the back end, and they'll finish eighth or seventh and be a challenge, and they've got to start that now.
Yeah, I think differently. I think they're like the Adelaide side from 2017 that made the grand final.
Done.
And we're going to keep trying to find ways to make that run, yes. But I don't think, and that run is that next 5 or 6 weeks looks really good. So you're right. You're probably going to be proven correct, but there's something missing there with their style of play.
It's work rate. I've seen a fair bit of clips this week. It's work rate for them. So you can get that back, but you could be right, definitely.
Brisbane to beat the Suns, though.
Will Schofield, Mark Renning, Shelter Footycast. Couple of listener interactions for us, Skeet, to finish us off. Gents, absolutely love the pod. Nothing better than hearing Skeet argue than say he isn't arguing about Pat Foss playing. Stick it up, you skater.
That from you or from a listener?
More of an email for the Backchat potty, but I want to hear Skeet's thought after what I can only assume was another failed weekend on the punt, a few too many shelters and an ear bashing from his significant other.
Who's that tosser? Who's that? Who's that blunt?
That's from Kyle.
Good on you, Kyle.
Hang on, he's not done.
No, he's not done. He might be done because I don't know. I don't need to hear much more from Kyle Sandilands.
Have you enjoyed their work in the Melbourne?
Oh, I'm fascinated to see how they write.
So back in 2022, round 11, when Fremantle knocked off the D's at the G.
Yep.
And now stupidly got flag mantle tattooed on the leg. This is what Kyle's done.
He's living up to what I think of him.
I got flag mantle tattooed on the leg. Let's just say I copped some shit for it after the last year's performance. At what stage do I bite the bullet and get Wharfie time on the other leg? Keep it for the Backchat potty later on if you want, and you can read it on the Shelter Footycast. Easy. Either way, I'm easy. Cheers from Kyle.
I don't know Kyle from a bar of soap, and we really appreciate him with his feedback. I'd be staggered if he's got a wife. Because imagine my wife getting a flag mantle. See, Alex would say, you absolute moron, if you do that after a game of footy. And they thought, okay, I'll get the other leg done with Wharfie time. I mean, I've got two words to say to him. Kyle, grow up.
Skeeter, I'm going to trump that with, I think we need to get a carton of beer out for Kyle. From some of his decision making, it's been poor. Let's get some shelters out to him just to really egg that on. You can get the Wharfie time tattoo on the other leg.
Good on him.
Happy with that?
Yeah, I love it.
G'day, lads. Wilma here. Just want to... we've done that one, I believe. Yeah,
I remember Wilma. Yeah,
we did that yesterday. On Monday. That's fine. Skeet, that's us finished off, mate. Make sure... Skeeter, tell the people, VIP.
For the Peloton, what's it called? The Pyroton? What is it called?
The Patreon.
Patreon, I knew it was something like that.
Backchatstudios.com.au, click on Patreon, and you can have a beer with Skeeter down
the VIP lounge.
He'll be at the shoe bar if you want to do it for free on the weekend. Brilliant, Skeeter, have a great weekend.
You too, Scully.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.